Hello and welcome to the Greenfield Baptist Sermons Podcast. Each week we will be uploading the focus scripture and sermon from Greenfield Baptist Church in Northeast Pennsylvania. Thank you for joining us and enjoy.
Lord God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for another chance to be in your house, a chance to worship you, a chance to celebrate our moms this morning, and Lord, to be reminded of the impact that they have had on our lives. Lord, we thank you for friends and family and for community of faith. Lord, as we look at your word today, we'll be challenged in where we are and where we need to go. Direct our paths. Give us wisdom. Encourage us. Lord, remind us that we are loved by you. In your name we pray. Amen. So many scriptures out of 1 Peter chapter 1. It's the second half of 1, and there's a couple verses in chapter 2. 1 Peter 1:13. Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober. Anybody alert? Anybody not sober?
Boy, that's way.
I don't know where you were last night. I don't want to know. Just kidding. Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not conform. Anybody like to be obedient? Anybody ever been a children? Yeah, this is for all y'all. Yeah, you too, Sean. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Since you call on a father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. For you know that it is not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from your empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in the last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope is in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of a perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and deceit, and hypocrisy and envy and slander of every kind, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that it may grow up, that you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. May God add his blessing as we continue to sing. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for the opportunities you put in front of us. Thank you for the opportunity to stop long enough to worship and to reflect on the sacrifice that was given for us, to recognize the difference that you make in our lives, the hope that you give us in an otherwise hopeless world. Let us not take lightly the gift that's been given to us. As we reflect on Peter's message to his Gentile friends, we recognize, Lord, that we too need to hear that message, the hope in a hopeless world. A safe space in the suffering. Thank you for your love and care, for the way you treat us. You never turn your back on us. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. If you're a kid, you can run. Ken, you can run too. Today, Kenny, you get to run. Would you like to run? Yeah, good job, Ken. Ken, someone told me no adults ever run in church. That's good.
Nobody's ever accused me of being an adult.
That is true. True statement, Ken. That I would agree with. And I'm betting Veronica would agree with that too. Veronica, would you agree with that?
I mean, I told him.
Oh, you're trying to make him be an adult? Is that what you're... I told him he was an adult? Good luck. Yeah, I was going to say, good luck. So, we're in week number two of 1 Peter. We're starting to look at what's going on. As I talked a little bit about last week, we talked about Peter was one of those people that was with Jesus and saw all that went down, was spent all that time with him, and was his life was changed moving forward. We recognize that Peter's life was different because he had an interaction with Jesus. And so we're going to walk our way through 1 Peter. Did anybody? All right, so here's the remember the quiz I told you about last week? And if you lie in church, who knows what's going to happen? That's all I can say. Right? When I was in college, that was the worst thing they ever did to us. They would ask us if we read, and we had to tell the truth on our thing, and we got points comparable to how much we read. Like if you read 50% of that week, you got 50% of the points. And I always thought that was rude because I couldn't lie. It was Christian college, right? But now I have the opportunity to do the same thing to you. So that anybody, just remember, if you read 1 Peter, this sermon is going to be way better than it would be normally. It's like supercharged. Just think about that for a second. So, and I know one person read because I heard. Anybody else read? Anybody get a chance to read? Oh, man. Y'all get a beat down. I'm telling your mom. I'm telling your mom. It's Mother's Day, and I'm going to tell her. And you're going to be in big trouble. You know what, Roscoe? For today only. For today only, there's grace. Amen. There's grace. Well, maybe God will show up, and you'll still have to hear a good sermon, right? We're going to talk about being holy, and we're going to spend a little bit of time thinking about what Peter's getting at with his friends, right? He wrote this letter to people scattered amongst a bunch of churches who were suffering, and we talked a little bit of last week about anybody suffer this week, anybody struggle this week, anybody have any problems this week? Nope, nobody had any of that either. Oh, Liz did. Okay. Larry. Well, yeah, this could. Amen. She had Larry. Would anybody like her struggle for next week? We're going to pawn him off. Road trip. He's going to sleep over. I'll take him for a couple days if you want. I'll put him to work. I'll keep him busy. Does he any good at cooking? Is he? Okay. Can he make coffee? Barely. Oh, okay. Oh, he's in. He can stay for 2 days. You can just say I quit, Larry. Uncle, right? So we're going to talk a little bit about being holy, and I want you to begin to think about that word, right? Because we use that word, we throw that word around a lot in church, right? It's this big churchy word. But holy, we're going to look at what that means today, and we're going to spend a little bit of time. And getting what Peter was after, right? What he's talking to these friends who are suffering, who are struggling with where they're at in life, and each of us at our time has those struggles. We have those. We suffer through the realities, the journey we call life, and sometimes it's better, and sometimes it's worse. Sometimes there's victory. Sometimes there's failure. Sometimes we live the normal life, right? And so what does it mean to be a believer, a follower of Jesus in the midst of this journey, and how do we live a life that's holy? And Peter's putting that out, right? And what he says is living a redeemed life is living hopeful. He says, obedient children, do not conform any more to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, be holy in all you do, for it is written, be holy because I am holy. Do you see that Peter's saying, listen, you used to live a life that looks like this or looked like this,
And I want you to think about what that life, well, for some of us, we came to Christ really early. And so we didn't have a lot of baggage in the fact that, like, we didn't have a lot of the life of the heathen, right? We didn't have a lot of the life of, like, doing the things of the world. But we can quickly recognize, and we're going to talk about it in a minute, the difference between a holy life and an unholy life. And Peter says, you were here. Right now, mind you, these were converts, early church. So most of these people hadn't gone generation after generation after generation after generation of faith. These were people who came from a different faith, who came from a different background, and who converted. So they were converts for the most part, who were adults, and so they had lived their life in one way and converted to Christianity. And Peter's like, you used to live this way in ignorance, but you don't live that way anymore. So don't live in that way. So what does it mean to be holy? Oh, look, we have a good student. Hi, Steve. Steve, what does it mean to be holy? I was gonna say, was there anybody who was gonna deny that? That's well, we know Karen, and we love her, and she's holy. What does it mean to be? What else? What does it mean to be holy in a very practical? What does that word mean? What does it look like when you think about someone who is holy? What do you see in that? What's that visual you see, Liz? Pointed in a direction, right? Isn't it interesting? We know what holy looks like. We have a hard time explaining what it is, right? We have a hard time putting like a descriptor, words to it. But we'd be better off if I put pictures up there. You'd probably be like, yeah, that person's holy. Right? I would obviously put up people we would know, but it would be a challenge because I have to put up unholy people too, and that wouldn't be. And if you had to make a choice, then that's a little sketchy, right? So. Any other thoughts? What does holy look like? When you think about someone who lives a holy life, what's Peter talking about in this passage? What does that look like? Separated from the world? In some ways, right? In some ways. I'm going to put this picture up, right? Because to me, it's one of the more famous pictures. It's from The Passion. If you haven't seen The Passion, I encourage you to watch it. Just hang on, right? It's pretty rough. Who are these guys? They're the Pharisees. Guess what? These guys, they're pretty sure they were holy. Were they not? That was the problem, right? They absolutely believed that they were holy and that they had the right answers and that they were the ones in the right and who was in the wrong. Who'd they go after? Jesus, right? If you haven't seen spoiler alert, The Passion is about Jesus. If you haven't seen it, get out from under your rock and watch it. It's a good one. It's a little rough, but it's worth it. So old that they have a VHS of it, actually. These guys thought they were holy. Why did they think they were holy? Yeah, they lived under the law, right? Yep, they followed all the rules. So don't you all follow all the rules? And do you follow all the rules the same way? Larry, do you follow the rules the same way as Liz? It's a no, Larry, just letting you know. It's a no. Because I already know the answer. You don't listen to your doctor, and she does. I know. She told me. She ratted you out. Sorry. See, holy isn't about following all the rules exactly the right way to the T, right? The Jews figured that out inadvertently. that they could make rules, and then they had to make rules to not break the rules that they made, right? And by they would just try to remove themselves so far from the rule that they never had to deal with the real rule. And they still failed. They still had to go to temple. They still had to offer sacrifice, right? And then we got a whole book loaded with what sacrifice. We got a whole book of it. If you do this, take this sacrifice. And there's a laundry list of all the things that we have to do to make us holy. And the problem was that holy didn't last very long, because soon after you were clean, purified, you would make another mistake, and then you would be unholy again. And that's why Jesus came. That's the whole crux of Scripture. Jesus came as that once and for all sacrifice that would make us holy, not because we're holy, not because we follow the rules, but because we're a part of Jesus, that he's a part in our lives, that he has taken over. So last night, I was listening for about 5 hours to probably what you would all call the worst music in the whole wide world. Right, Nathan?
Yes.
Nathan was there with me, and he would agree. Wimp. I'm teasing Nate. So we went to a screamo show, which I happen to like. Saw 8 bands. There was something that was really interesting that happened last night. And Nate, even though Nate didn't love the experience, he went. I didn't push him in the mosh pit, so he survived. Right. Something really interesting happened last night. And Nate, you may not have even noticed this, but I'm gonna challenge you to think about this for a minute. So last night there were 8 bands. 6 bands were secular bands, and they were sprinkled in. But the headliner was a Christian band, and then there was a band in the middle that was another Christian band. And as we're going through the night, we heard a couple swear words. I know you're gonna be surprised. Don't worry, I closed my ears every time I heard one. I said, don't remember that. There were 2 Christian bands. And there was a very distinct, Brentley and I were talking about this morning, a very distinct difference between the secular bands and the Christian bands. And the music, if I were to play the music side by side, back to back, you wouldn't be able to notice a ton of difference in the music. Right, it's still full of angst and anger and excitement and moshing, and it's good time. And you don't even have to wear earplugs. And you can if you want, but you don't need earplugs. Anyway, as we're listening to the bands, the lower bands, the first bands are all local bands, a couple local bands. You know, and there's a lot of language and a lot of angst and a lot of frustration. And one of the guys in the process says, as he's smiling, let's sing another song about death, because that's all I write about. And he's kind of half smiling, half, you know, like. And then you got to a Christian band. And Brentley and I had an opportunity to talk to the lead singer. They're actually a British screamo band. And we got to talk about theology before he went on stage. It was great. We were just talking. He was just excited that a pastor would make it to a show, and it was cool for me to just talk to him, you know, and just share about life, share about he's from London, so I got a chance to talk to him about my grandmother for a minute, and just shared about the hope of Christ in a hopeless world. Right, this guy gets up there and he screams and he's all over the place. He dances around like a fool, and it's all in the name of Christ. And then the lead band, the band who played the headline, Convictions was the name of the band. That band, I got to talk to that guy too, before the show, and it was great to recognize that in a genre of music where there's a lot of angst and frustration and struggles in the world, there's a genre for people who are struggling and trying to find God in a different avenue than a church. Because if I brought those people to church this morning, you'd all left. Exactly. They were dressed kind of weird. Right, Dan? Dan was dressed kind of weird. Black is the color. Black is the new color, right? Everybody was in black, self included. Couple tattoos, yeah, saw a few of those. Little fishnet, a little bit of, you know, there was a little. It was a little edgy. Yeah, a little edgy. Maybe a lot edgy, huh, Dan? Black eye makeup. Yeah, I didn't wear my black eye makeup last night, though, Brian. Here's the whole point to that story, right? And you didn't have to go to hear it. But I want to share it with you. The point to that whole story was there were two bands in that group of eight bands that stuck out, very distinctly stuck out, because of their faith. Not because they played different music. They didn't play acoustic set when everybody else was jamming out. The drums didn't sound any less. My ears were ringing the same for those bands as the other bands. But what I quickly realized as I talked to the lead singers, as I watched them act, be on the stage and carry themselves in a different way, that they had a hope. Their hope in Jesus made a difference in their life. And they allow for an opportunity for young people to come to Christ in a way that they wouldn't maybe fit this morning on a Sunday morning. So are they less holy because they might not look like you and I with our collared shirts on today? Did you hear that? Did you hear that, Veronica? Got really quiet in here. You know why? People are thinking. You would think we would hear like a little squeaking wheel once in a while. All that to say, be careful. Be careful in your journey of life that you don't throw people out because you don't know their background. You don't know their history. You don't understand where they came from. Be careful we don't look at somebody the wrong way and miss the fact that God is still working in their life. The one thing about Jesus that I really love in the New Testament is the fact that he jumps into these areas, these arenas where people were different. He's not afraid to jump into those arenas and test the waters. I think all too often, it's easy to sit in these four walls and feel like, oh, I am holier than thou, right? We don't want to be these people, but let's just be honest. Let's be honest with ourselves. Sometimes we are those people. Sometimes we think we're better than we are. And here's the reality. We're all sinners saved by grace. We all need the grace of God. I always love to use the term, we're all in the same boat, because I feel like that's like a great visual, right? I need a bigger boat for all y'all, but we're all in the same boat. My sin looks different than your sin. My struggles look maybe different than your struggles. But we're all in the same boat. We're all sinners saved by grace. And maybe we do well to give a little more of that grace. Romans 12:12 says, rejoice in your hope. Rejoice. Find joy in your hope. Be patient in tribulation. And be constantly in prayer. I don't know where you're at this morning. Maybe you've had a rough week. Maybe you're struggling this week. Maybe it's been a great week. I don't know. But find joy in the hope of Christ no matter where you are this morning, no matter where you came from, no matter what happens 10 minutes after you leave and you have to go deal with. Find joy in the hope of your salvation. That's what Peter's saying. Find joy in your life where you are at. As a believer in Christ, you ought to look different. You got to stick out a little bit somehow, some way.
You need to live hopeful.
Second thing Peter says, live abundantly or love abundantly. Right? We love to love people. Here's the problem with loving people. We want to pick and choose who we love. We only want to love those people who love us back. Or we only want to love those people who love us. One of the things in youth ministry that I absolutely enjoyed the most was the fact that we had to love kids who were hard to love. And I would say that all the time in youth ministry. The ones that are the hardest to love, you know those kids that are bouncing off the walls? The ones that make us crazy? The ones that won't listen? The ones that don't sit? The ones that throw balls at people and they're not supposed to or don't follow the rules? You know all those kids? You know those kids? We need to love them. Maybe as adults, we need to understand we need to love them. Peter says, now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply. Love one another deeply from the heart. What does that look like in your life? What does loving someone deeply look like? That's a perfect church answer. I don't know who said it. What does it mean to love someone deeply? Put their needs above yours. Yeah, we're gonna get that, that's helpful. We're gonna go to a scripture here in a second. I'm gonna put up a quote, and I want you to read it, and I want you to think about it. We're gonna talk about it for a second. First impression? What, Dan? Heavy. Heavy like the metal we listened to last night. Maybe a little, not that heavy. I think it's heavier, actually. Way more. Do you agree? Can you get there? That's the question I have. Can you get there? I just need to tell you, it's absolutely true. Can you get there? Think about it for a second. What's that? Birth a child. Birth a child. TMI, Veronica. I'm teasing. Can you get there? That's a hard quote to get to. Love is not a joy, but a deep, wonderful pain. Everything within you should tear. Only then will you know what love is. That's heavy. That's heavy for me to think about. I've said it 100 times. The hardest, probably not the hardest, I don't know if it's the hardest. One of the hardest parts of losing my wife was that I loved her so deeply. And I have a friend who says deep love equals deep pain. And I've said it. I've said it 100 times. I've said it out loud. I'm not so sure it's the right thing to say, but I don't know that I care. Some days I wish I would have hated my wife. Because if I hated her, this would be a whole lot easier. Then it would be easy to say good riddance. But alas, it is not. This quote makes complete sense to me. And it makes a whole lot more sense in the last 11 months. And this, you don't even have to put a scripture to it. But think about Jesus for 1 second. That's the love that Jesus took to the cross. It's not easy. And it makes us think, and it challenges us to really think about how we feel about things. Because love is this cushy, nice, pretty red heart. It's like love is a marriage, right? A wedding, right? Day one. It's that idea that we are in love. But you know what Scripture says about love? What does Paul say? We go to weddings, right? And probably three quarters of the weddings use the same Scripture, right? It's a good Scripture. There's nothing wrong with that Scripture. And it actually is a great Scripture to begin to think about what love really looks like. Right? 1 Corinthians 13 is love is patience. And anybody like to be patient? I hate patience. Anybody want to be kind to someone who's offended you? Love is not self-seeking, like Wanda was talking about. Right? It looks out for the other person. It does not delight in evil. It does not dishonor another person. It does not envy. It perseveres. It does not boast. It's not easily angered. Oh, man. It isn't proud. Yes, thank you, Brian. Did I miss one, Brian? Keeps no records. Any other ones? That's a hard. Anybody like that one? It doesn't. Let me put it in today's terms. It doesn't hold a grudge. So if you're holding a grudge, I can promise you, you're not loving. Not because I said so, because Scripture says so. Here's the best. Love never fails. And then Paul goes on to say, where there are these, they will fail. Where there are these, they will fail. Right? But these three remain, he says, a little further down. What three things remain? Faith, hope, and love. Thank you, Lee. Amen. Yep. Amen. Faith, hope, and love. Ugh. We struggle to love deeply. Deep love is sacrificial. It puts the other person first. It makes right of the wrongs. It's all of those things. I wish that in our marriages that we could just live by, what is that, four verses? If we could just live by those four verses, just think how many things in a marriage we could solve. If every time we're going to lash out at our partner, our spouse, we stop long enough to ask ourselves those, to just challenge ourselves with that, those four verses. What do you think our marriages would look like in America? And by the way, just need to let you know the stats. Christian marriages, they aren't any better than a secular marriage. They aren't. Statistically, they're just as awful. And just so you know what awful looks like, it's like 50% or less chance. So you could flip a coin to see if you want to stay married or not. I don't know about you, but two things. I think one, that's pathetic. And two, I think that's exactly what Satan wants. Because if you divide a family, you divide allegiance, you take kids and you split them up, all that stuff's hard on a family. And Satan's, no doubt in my mind when I do marriage counseling that I see that. I think that's why Paul says, even in the church, he says, be careful to keep unity. Like I think it's Ephesians 4. He talks about keep the unity of the faith. Learn to love each other. Third, living a redeemed life means living a new way, learning a new way. So put away all your malice and deceit, your hypocrisy and envy, and all the slander. Like newborn infants, long for pure spiritual milk, that by it they may grow up into salvation, if you have indeed tasted that the Lord is good. Did you guys know that we have a visitor today? A first-time visitor? Did you know that? She's 2 weeks old? 3 weeks old. And her name is Renly. And she is precious. I got to see her this morning. And I hear her cooing every once in a while. She's a first-time visitor. That's pretty exciting. How did I get there? Somebody pushed the buttons. Somebody pushed the buttons. Who was pushing the button? We don't want to go there yet. So it's Mother's Day, and Lauren and Ryan, that's their brand new 3-week-old daughter, and that's exciting. What an exciting. And I was thinking about my own grandson this morning, and just thinking about how small she is right now, how precious she is, and how much she needs mom and dad. But it won't be long before she's crawling. And it won't be, sorry, mom, I don't want to make you cry. I used to make my wife cry a lot. I would say, like, you know, one of these days they're going to walk out that door and leave you. I used to tell her when they were like 3, I'd be like, they're going to leave and grow up. And she'd be like, don't you tell me that. But the reality is we know, right? We know that in 3 or 4 months, she'll be holding her head up and she'll be perked up and she'll get a personality and you'll really begin to see that personality, right? And then a couple more months, she'll be crawling, eating everything that doesn't, you know, on the ground, whatever. And then she'll be walking, right? And then she'll be into the terrible twos. And it won't be long. We're going to watch her grow up before our eyes. Now, all you moms are like half in tears because I'm like, you're thinking, yeah, I watched my kids do. Just think, my mom is still here and she's alive after me. What does that tell you? You can give your condolences to her later. Here's the reality, though. It wouldn't be all that great if Renly never grew up, would it? If she was 3 weeks old forever. No, it's precious, but part of parenting is growing up, right? Growing, watching our kids. I watched my grandson who, you know, like 3 or 4 months ago, he could walk, but if he caught one toe on something, man, he was head over heels on his face, right? About two months ago, he had this big bruise right in the middle of his forehead. He landed on something. And now I was over there Thursday, and he runs around like a maniac, right? He launches himself onto the couch, right? I got a text on yesterday morning, and April said, I asked Brooksy what he thought of what he dreamed about last night. He said he dreamed about Papa. So, but I say all of that because we want our kids to grow up, right? And Peter says, listen, get rid of all the things that made you a baby. Quit living like newborn babies. Grow up in, that's why this picture, right? That's a ridiculous picture. I found the most ridiculous picture. But the reality is this, that is ridiculous. But Peter's saying, listen, grow up in your faith. Grow up in your faith and be challenged to be mature in your faith. And Peter talks about being what mature looks like. And that's hard. Peter goes on in 2 Peter to say, grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord, your Savior, Jesus Christ, and to him be the glory for now and forever. Peter's calling his friends, his friends that are scattered all over, I'm calling you as my friends, scattered all over, to continue to grow up in our faith, to continue. And how do we do that? One, I think we got to jump in here. We got to jump in here on a regular basis. We got to get in. So you have, there's redemption. Roscoe, there's redemption. If you read chapter 2 next week, I'll give you half the points from this week, all right? Aren't you excited now, Roscoe? Just think how many points you'll have. We need to be in community. We need to be together with other believers. We need to make a point of being connected to the family of God. We need to be transparent and put ourselves out there. We need to love others. I mean, this is loaded with all kinds of things you can work on, right? Take your pick, right? That's the worst part of this. I open it and I'm like, oh, I got to work on that today. Do not be anxious about anything, but God, I want to be anxious. Not really, but I want to encourage you this morning. See, I think all too often we come, we sit in a pew, we check the box, and we go home and we just do our life all over again. But I want to challenge you and encourage you to begin to think about what it would look like if you started new today. What if, by some crazy idea, you were able to make a change, walk out that door, and life was different? If I was selling that for 10 bucks, I promise you I'd have a wad of money, right? If I was in the back saying, I'll tell you what, I'll make you a deal. I can give you a new life today, a new beginning. We're going to wipe away all that old garbage in your life. Wouldn't that be great? You'd buy it, right, Veronica? 10 bucks? Yeah.
God gave me that.
God gave Veronica. Yeah. I'm glad you can laugh about it because that's a rough. Yeah. Amen. Veronica's getting a new beginning, but not because she wanted it. And I heard there was a wall up, so that's awesome. A lot of walls up. That's even more exciting. If you have no clue what I'm talking about, they just had a fire April 2nd. And house is coming back to life. That's exciting. Keep them in prayer as they continue to walk this road. But if I was selling new beginnings for 10 bucks, I promise you I could stand in the back and I'd be collecting money left and right. Right? Because all of us want to get rid of the old stuff. We all want to get rid of the garbage in our life. And we want to move forward. We want to like, I don't want to have that regret, God. I don't want to have that issue in my life. Whatever it is, right? Pick one, right? We all got them. The reality is we can have that. We can lay down the burdens in our life this morning. If we choose to. If I choose to. If I choose not to, then I walk right out the door with the same burden I walked in with. I know that sounds really simple. But it's not what I say that matters. It's what God says, right? He says we can have a new life, a new beginning in Him. I want to encourage you. We're gonna pray and we're going to take offering, and there'll be an opportunity. I'm going to stand right here. I got to stand here every week no matter what, right? If you want to talk, I'd love to pray with you about a new beginning. If you don't know who Jesus is and you want to start that relationship, if you got baggage you want to get rid of and you don't want to talk to me, you can go to either side of the altar, wherever. You can go pray on your own. I don't care. But here's the reality. Here's what I really need you to know. You have a decision to make. And that decision is, will I or won't I? Will I take a chance on God or won't I? And that's what Peter's saying to his friends. He said, there's a new beginning. You have a new beginning. You have a new life in Christ. Live that life. Live holy, that hope in God. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for today. Thank you for your word. Lord, thank you for the love you have for us. Lord, I pray for those who are struggling this morning. I pray, Lord, for those who are challenged. I pray for those who are struggling with the loss of their mom this year. And Lord, Mother's Day is not easy. Lord, for the pain and the struggle of that, I ask that you would give comfort. Lord, I thank you for the way that you continue to work in our lives. I thank you for the hope we have. Lord, I pray for those those spots of where you teach us to be holy. Lord, may we offer grace to those who look different, who act different, who maybe respond different. May we look past what they look like or how they talk or. And Lord, begin to see their hearts. Thank you for your love and all of this. In your name we pray. Amen.